Hello, this is Paula Kaufman with the Herald and Review, dated Thursday, January 8th, 2026. We'll start with an article on the front page headlined Community, Volunteers Help Night to Shine, Buddies Needed for Prom Event for Those with Special Needs, by Danette Beckett, Decatur. Felicia Dick has a wish list for the dress she will wear during this year's Night to Shine. Blue, my fiance, is going to have a blue suit, she said. So we're going to coordinate. Dick will be among the some 300 attendees at Night to Shine, a prom event for those with special needs, ages 14 and older. The event will be from 6 to 8:30 p.m. Friday, February 13th, at GT Church, 500 South 27th Street, Decatur. The Decatur event is one of many proms sponsored by the Tim Tebow Foundation, held around the globe on the Friday before Valentine's Day. The hosts include Macon Resources, Inc., Decatur's first Christian church, and GT Church. You have to be approved every year, said Charity Miller, production pastor at GT Church. There are certain things we have to incorporate. The local events rely on volunteers for a successful prom experience. Each guest will have a buddy to stay with him or her throughout the evening. Being a buddy is great because you just go out and dance, said Amy Bliefnick, MRI executive director. But you have to wear your dancing shoes because you're going to be out there on the floor with them for 2 hours at least. Buddies are teamed up with some promo guests of the same gender. It makes it better if they need assistance, Miller said. They can sometimes relate with the same gender. According to Adam Hammerlink, missions and discipleship pastor for First Christian Church, the past couple of years have included an excess of female buddies. We had a shortage of male buddies, he said. We could always use more. Other volunteer opportunities include decorating, food preparation for the dinner, registration, security, nursing care, and check-in and activity room hosts. MRI is also accepting dresses, dress pants and shirts, ties, shoes, and other accessories for the free boutique. Registration for volunteers can be found on Macon Resources, First Christian Church, and GT Church websites, or night2shine/Decatur Facebook. Each volunteer, ages 18 and older, will need to pass a background check. The registration deadline is February 7th. One mandatory training session will be available February 9th and 10th. There are so many things they can sign up for, Miller said. 425 to 450 volunteers is what we try to shoot for if we have 350 honored guests. According to Bliefnick, Night to Shine is popular for volunteers as well as the invited guests. To have 450 volunteers for a one-night event is amazing, she said. It shows once again how supported this event is by the community. We see a lot of the same faces year after year, Hammerlink said. Once you're in, you're in. But more volunteers are always needed. However, organizers are still in need of volunteers. Almost every year we have people say, I work that night, or they have something with their family, Hammerlink said. It's just a tough time of year. Decatur's first Night to Shine was in 2019. Guests will again dress in their finest and have the opportunity to walk a red carpet to the festivities, which will include games, food, photo opportunities, and dancing. The event is topped off with each guest receiving a crown during a special ceremony. New this year will be a room dedicated to bingo, sashes, and updated crowns, and gift bags. Night to Shine events depend on local sponsors to be successful. This year, we are looking for even more because the cost of things have gone up, she said. Every dollar that goes into the sponsorship gets spent on this. Night to Shine volunteers. To register as a volunteer for Night to Shine, visit the Macon Resources, Inc., Decatur's First Christian Church, or GT Church websites. Night to Shine /Decatur Facebook page is also filled with information on the event. Each volunteer, ages 18 or older, will need to pass a background check. The registration deadline is February 7th. One mandatory training session will be available February 9th and 10th. Illinois. Trump freezes $1 billion for child care. Widespread fraud alleged in programs serving 152,000 children. By Peter Hancock, Capital News, Illinois, Springfield. The Trump administration announced late Tuesday that it was freezing distribution of about $10 billion in federal child care and family assistance funds to five Democratic-led states, including Illinois. It will now require those states to submit detailed justification and documentation before any of the federal funds are released. The action applies to three programs overseen by the Administration for Children and Families, a division within the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, the Child Care and Development Fund, Temporary Assistance for Needy Families, or TANF, TAMF, and the Social Services Block Grant Program. Other states whose funds are being frozen include California, Colorado, Minnesota, and New York. Governor J.B. Pritzker's office said the action affects about $1 billion in funding for programs in Illinois. Those include subsidized child care services for low-income working families, as well as licensed child care providers that are partially funded through block grants under the Temporary Assistance for Needy Families program. Pritzker's office said about 100,000 Illinois families, including more than 152,000 children, are served through the Illinois Child Care Assistance Program, which receives funding through the Child Care and Development Block Grant Program. The TANF Block Grant Program supports licensed child care providers in every county in Illinois. The funds are used to support the Child Care Assistance Program, as well as the Illinois Department of Children and Family Services licensing work. Pritzker's office said the Social Services Block Grant supports 275 organizations in Illinois that provide health and welfare services to children, seniors, people with disabilities, and people facing poverty and food insecurity. Feds cite fraud concerns. In its announcement Tuesday, the Department of Health and Human Services said the action was in response to serious concerns about widespread fraud and misuse of taxpayer dollars in state-administered programs. The agency also said it had identified concerns that these benefits intended for American citizens and lawful residents may have been improperly provided to individuals who are not eligible under federal law. Although HHS cited no specific examples of such fraud and abuse, Minnesota's child welfare system has been the subject of a widespread fraud investigation that has resulted in charges against dozens of individuals and prompted Democratic Governor Tim Walz to give up his bid for re-election to a third term. Families who rely on child care and family assistance programs deserve confidence that these resources are used lawfully and for their intended purpose, Deputy HHS Secretary Jim O'Neill said in a statement. This action reflects our commitment to program integrity, fiscal responsibility, and compliance with federal requirements. Pritzker issued a statement Tuesday evening condemning the funding freeze and emphasizing the department's anti-fraud policies and reporting protocols. Rather than making life easier and more affordable for our families, Donald Trump is stripping away child care from Illinois families who are just trying to work, he said. Thousands of parents and children depend on these child care programs to help them make ends meet, and now their livelihoods are being put at risk. This is wrong. It is cruel. And we will take every step possible to defend the kids and families depending on all of us right now. Capital News Illinois is a nonprofit, nonpartisan news service that distributes state government coverage to hundreds of news outlets statewide. It is funded primarily by the Illinois Press Foundation and the Robert R. McCormick Foundation. New Year's Eve, Men Charged with Celebratory Gunfire by Tony Reed, Decatur. Five Decatur men, now accused of welcoming in the new year with a blaze of illegal celebratory gunfire, found themselves on a straight shot to Macon County Circuit Court. They were arrested on a variety of weapons offenses, including possession of a submachine gun, after Decatur Police Department patrol officers surrounded a home in the 1500 block of North Clinton Street and ordered them outside. A sworn affidavit said officers were responding to 911 calls about multiple suspects firing weapons into the air from the front porch of the house around 11:42 p.m. December 31st. Before ordering the suspects outside, police picked up more than 170 spent shell casings of different calibers in the home's yard, plus three live rounds. A woman witness is quoted as telling police she observed several subjects shooting off firearms from the front porch. The witness said five or six men would come out onto the porch, blast their weapons, go back inside, and then come out and do it again, repeating the firings several times. She stated she knows the house very well and said that Tyler M. Howard, 23, lives at the residence, and she knows he is on parole, said Officer Jared Sikowski, who signed the affidavit. She stated that as the subjects heard police sirens, all the subjects immediately ran inside of the residence. Sikowski said officers armed with a search warrant later investigated the house and seized three handguns, a rifle, and 150 rounds of ammunition. Sikowski described one of the weapons as an untraceable ghost gun that was fitted with a device to make it fire on fully automatic. Police also seized more than a pound of cannabis, along with small plastic bags typically used for street sales of the drug, according to Sikowski. Howard was arraigned in court Monday on one count of being a felon in possession of a submachine gun. He was also charged with three other counts of being a felon in possession of weapons, three counts of illegal weapons possession, and faces further charges accusing him of the aggravated unlawful possession of a gun and the reckless discharge of a firearm. Four others were all arraigned Monday on the same slate of nine charges. Those defendants were 19-year-old Jeremiah D. Ford, Harry T. Howard, 44, Taji A. Houston, 20, and 23-year-old Jacqueline A. Clark. All five men were denied pretrial release by presiding Judge Thomas Griffith on the grounds they pose too great a threat to public safety to be allowed out of custody. They are all scheduled to be back in court January 21st for preliminary hearings, when they will enter pleas to the charges. A check of Tyler Howard's record shows he was sentenced to 3 years in prison after being convicted of being a felon in possession of a gun, and was paroled in February of 2025 from the Vandalia Correctional Center. Public safety, Chicago. Prosecutors link gang to 14 killings. Face World gang promoted violent enterprise online, U.S. attorney says. By Sam Charles, Chicago Tribune, Chicago. Federal and state prosecutors now say a single gang faction on Chicago's South Side committed 14 murders and shot at least 18 other people in just 2 years as part of a brazen crime spree meant to tighten the group's grip on the West Chatham neighborhood. From March 2019 through April 2021, authorities say, members and associates of Face World, a faction of the gangster disciples, used stolen cars to track down rival gang members, sometimes targeting funerals and memorial services. The faction, whose territory is bounded by 79th Street, 83rd Street, Vincennes Avenue, and State Street, also carried out several armed robberies, a home invasion, and sexual assault, and trafficked cocaine and heroin in Illinois and Iowa, prosecutors allege. The defendants and other Face World members and associates used threats and intimidation to prevent victims and witnesses from cooperating with law enforcement, the U.S. Attorney's Office in Chicago said in a statement last week. Face World members allegedly promoted their violent enterprise on social media, posting comments, photos, and videos to proclaim membership in the gang, taunt rivals, and boast about murders and other acts of violence. Since 2021, 6 federal indictments have been brought against members of Face World, according to a review of court records. The most recent federal charges, unveiled last month, linked the gang to 13 murders and several other shootings, including the killings of 2 women who worked as neighborhood peacekeepers, and a mass shooting outside the funeral of a slain gang rival in which 15 people were wounded. If convicted, 3 defendants would be eligible for the death penalty. Meanwhile, one of the federal defendants also faces a murder charge in Cook County that stems from another fatal shooting in July 2019. Prosecutors say Face World's primary rivals were the Wooga World and 900 factions, also based on the South Side. Most of the violence charged in the latest indictment is par for the course in modern Chicago gang conflicts. One shooting spurs retaliation, a get-back. There's opening fire on a group at a memorial for another murder victim, social media threats that manifest in the real world. The first slaying charged in the newly unsealed indictment was the March 2019 killing of Antoine Fields, a drill rapper who performed under the name Lil Mister. Fields, an affiliate of Wooga World, who was shot in the 7400 block of South Harvard Avenue, was a cousin of Chicago rapper Lil Durk, who's facing federal murder-for-hire charges in Los Angeles. About 2 weeks later, 2 women, Brittany Rice and Zenobia Brantley, were shot and killed as they sat in a vehicle in the 7700 block of South Eggleston Avenue. Police officials were quick to say the shooting was targeted, but downplayed the possibility of a gang dispute. There's no gang conflict in the area, so it's puzzling, actually, to have this act occur here in this community, Chicago Police Captain Gilberto Calderon told reporters days after the shooting. The following July, Chantel Grant and Andrea Stoudemire, 2 members of the anti-violence group Mothers and Men Against Senseless Killings, MASK, were shot to death as they stood in the 7500 block of South Stewart Avenue. Another man, Donald Weathersby, was also shot in the arm. MASK founder Tamar Manasseh called the shooting one of the saddest days of my life. For mothers to be killed in a place where mothers go to seek safety and sisterhood, I take that as a personal threat, Manasseh told reporters shortly after the shooting, because when you come for one of us, you better believe they came for all of us. A week later, Calvin Sye was shot to death outside his home in the 7300 block of South Stewart, just 2 blocks north of where Grant and Stoudemire were killed. Prosecutors say Sye was outside with his brother, and Face World members believed them to be rival gang members and together decided to shoot at Sye in retaliation for a shooting that had happened in Face World Enterprise territory the night before. The next day, prosecutors allege, several Face World members were driving in Wooga World territory with the intent to shoot up a memorial taking place for Calvin Sye. They soon saw Cornelius Jordan, who they believed to be affiliated with Wooga World, driving in the 6800 block of South Wentworth Avenue. Face World members opened fire, killing Jordan and wounding another woman. A week later, Face World members would, again, shoot and wound Donald Weathersby, prosecutors say. The next year, in July 2020, he was killed in the 7400 block of South Stewart, just a day after a member of Face World was murdered a few blocks away. Trump mobile phone still under wraps. Launch of golden smartphone delayed. Release date remains unclear. By Michael Lidke, Associated Press. A golden phone that President Donald Trump's family business promised to release last year remains mysteriously under wraps as the technology industry serves up a glut of new gadgets at CES, Consumer Electronics Show, in Las Vegas this week. When the Trump Organization launched a mobile phone service last June, it was supposed to be a stage setter for a new smartphone bathed in gold with a $500 price tag, a bargain compared to Apple's latest iPhone models that sell for anywhere from $800 to $1,200. The newly formed Trump Mobile targeted its T1 phone for an August or September release. What's more, Trump Mobile initially hailed T1 as a device that would be proudly designed and built in the United States for customers who expect the best. But both the T1 shipping date and U.S. manufacturing ambitions gradually began to shift, even as Trump Mobile continues to accept $100 deposits for the device. Not long after announcing the device, Trump Mobile pivoted from describing it as a phone that would be made in the U.S. to framing it as a device that would be proudly American. Trump Mobile's website now touts the T1 as having an American proud design, with no further explanation. Analysts believe that the shift stemmed from a recognition that the U.S. lacked the supply chain and other logistics required to make a smartphone for less than $1,000, the same hurdles that made it implausible for Apple to acquiesce to President Trump's demands that the company move its iPhone manufacturing from China and India. Later in the summer, Trump Mobile also became more vague about when the T1 would become available, but still indicated it would be delivered to customers who paid the $100 deposit by the end of 2025. Trump Mobile's website continues to list the T1's targeted release date as later this year. The Trump Organization didn't respond to inquiries from the Associated Press about the delays or when the device is now expected to be shipped. The Financial Times recently reported that it was told by a customer representative for Trump Mobile that the phone will be shipped in late January and attributed its delayed release to the 43-day shutdown of the federal government last year. Whatever the reason, the T1's ongoing absence from the smartphone market didn't come as a surprise to International Data Corporation analyst Francisco Geronimo. "We have always been quite skeptical about this phone," Geronimo said. "They are probably finding that it is harder to build a phone than they thought it would be. Let's see if this thing comes to life or not." While the T1 has remained in a holding pattern, Trump Mobile has been selling its wireless service for $47.45 per month, a price tied to Donald Trump's titles as the 47th and 45th president. For customers looking for a smartphone that they can use sooner rather than later, Trump Mobile is also selling refurbished versions of older iPhones and Samsung's Galaxy models at prices ranging from $370 to $630. Maybe they changed their strategy and figured out they're better off just selling refurbished phones, Geronimo said. Health and Human Services. Officials renew guidance. Administration urges Americans to avoid processed foods, sugar. By Janelle Alessia, Associated Press. Americans should eat more whole foods and protein, fewer highly processed foods, and less added sugar, according to the latest edition of federal nutrition advice released Wednesday by the Trump administration. Health Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. and Agriculture Secretary Brooke Rollins issued the 2025 to 2030 U.S. Dietary Guidelines for Americans, which offer updated recommendations for a healthy diet and provide the foundation for federal nutrition programs and policies. Kennedy, for months, stressed overhauling the U.S. food supply as part of his Make America Healthy Again agenda. "My message is clear. Eat real food," Kennedy said at a White House briefing. The guidelines emphasize consumption of fresh vegetables, whole grains, and dairy products, long advised as part of a healthy eating plan. Officials released a new graphic depicting an inverted version of the long-abandoned food pyramid, with protein, dairy, healthy fats, and fruits and vegetables at the top and whole grains at the bottom. But they also take a new stance on highly processed foods and refined carbohydrates, urging consumers to avoid packaged, prepared, ready-to-eat, or other foods that are salty or sweet, such as chips, cookies, and candy. That's a different term for ultra-processed foods, the tasty, energy-dense products that make up more than half the calories in the U.S. diet and have been linked to chronic diseases such as diabetes and obesity. The new guidance backs away from revoking long-standing advice to limit saturated fats, despite signals from Kennedy and Food and Drug Commissioner Marty Makary that the administration would push for more consumption of animal fats to end the war on saturated fats. Instead, the document suggests that Americans should choose whole food sources of saturated fat, such as meat, whole fat dairy, or avocados, while continuing to limit saturated fat consumption to no more than 10% of daily calories. The dietary guidelines, required by law to be updated every 5 years, provide a template for a healthy diet. But in a country where more than half of adults have a diet-related chronic disease, few Americans actually follow the guidance, research shows. The guidance will have the most profound effect on the federally funded National School Lunch Program, which is required to follow the guidelines to feed almost 30 million U.S. children on a typical school day. Digest. Coalition in House backs health subsidy. Washington. Overpowering Speaker Mike Johnson, a bipartisan coalition in the House voted Wednesday to push forward a measure that would revive an enhanced pandemic-era subsidy that lowered health insurance costs for roughly 22 million people, but that expired last month. The tally of 221 to 205 was a key test before passage of the bill, which is expected Thursday. And it came about because four GOP centrist lawmakers joined with Democrats in signing a so-called discharge petition to force the vote. After last year's government shutdown failed to resolve the issue, they said doing nothing was not an option, as many of their constituents faced soaring health insurance premiums beginning this month. In the end, nine Republicans joined Democrats to advance the measure. We'll take a short break now and return with the second half of the Herald and Review, dated Thursday, January 8th, 2026. Please stay tuned.